1 Kings 19 and verse 10. I've been very zealous, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant and torn down your altars and killed your prophets. And I alone am left. I'm the only one left, Lord. And they're trying to kill me. He wasn't afraid of dying and going to heaven to be with the Lord, but he was afraid of what would be the condition of Israel if he went away. These prophets, their burden was always that. They were not so keen to live on the earth. They were always persecuted, hated, bad-mouthed, and people called them bad names. But they had such a burden. What will happen to this group if I leave? Lord, I alone am left. That's the burden Paul had. What will happen to me? What will happen to this church when I leave? The wolves will come in. And imagine sitting around, I don't know how many elders there were when Paul spoke to those elders, maybe five. Imagine five people sitting in front of Paul, elders who had been elders in the church in Ephesus. And he turns around and tells these, picture this in your mind, Paul speaking to five elders and saying, fellas, when I leave, not one of you will be able to keep the wolves outside this church. How do you think they felt when they heard that? If you were one of the elders, how would you feel? You say, who does Paul think he is? What an arrogant guy, as if only he can keep the elders, the wolves out. What does he think of himself? What arrogance to say something like that? Only I can keep the wolves out of this church? But the fact of the matter, it was true. When Paul left, that church declined, went to the dogs. The Lord left it. So we see there in this, and Elijah says the same thing. He had watched Israel for so many years, all backslidden, the prophets all backslidden. And he says, I alone am left. And the Lord says in verse 18, yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal and every mouth that has not kissed him. Now many people, I've heard many, many people say from that passage, Elijah thought he was all alone, that he alone could draw God's people back to him. But there was, God says there were 7,000. No, they were not. They were not like Elijah. Not one of those 7,000 could bring fire down from heaven. Only one man could bring fire down from heaven. That was Elijah. There can be 7,000 believers, but only one can bring the fire down from heaven. And we should long to be that, like that. Then what was these 7,000? They had a negative testimony. What is that? Verse 18. I do not bow to Baal. I have not kissed the idol of Baal. It is negative. What do you do positively? Well, there's not much to say positively, but I don't do this. And I tell you, the testimony of a lot of Christians is negative. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't womanize. I don't watch R-rated movies. I don't scream at people. I hope so. I don't do this. I don't do that. I don't do the other thing. It's all negative. What about Elijah? His testimony was not, I don't bow down to Baal. His testimony to Ahab was in 1 Kings 17 verse 1, as the Lord God of Israel lives before whom I stand. His testimony is positive. Not, I don't bow down to Baal. I stand before God. I live before his face every single day. Those 7,000 didn't have that testimony. That testimony was, I don't do this, I don't do that. And it's good to ask yourself, which of these two groups are you in? You say like Elijah, I live before God's face every single day. Or is it, I have a good testimony because I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't gamble, I don't do this, I don't do this. It's a whole list of negatives. Not like that other fellow out there who has some of these bad habits. Dear brothers and sisters, we can be like those 7,000 and pat ourselves on the back that we don't do this, we don't do that, I don't yell at my wife. Great. So it's still negative. I don't get angry. We talk about that a lot in the church. I don't lust after women. Great. And you say we have achieved something because I don't lust after women. I don't get angry. Wow. You're better than so many other Christians, but you're still part of the 7,000 who haven't bowed to Baal. Because it's a negative testimony. I don't love money. Add that to the list. It's again negative. Elijah's testimony is, I live before God every day. It's not, I don't do this and I don't do that and I don't do the other thing. Be very careful about that, because I want to say to you very frankly, it's very easy to be like that. God's done a great work in this church. I can see that. I travel around all CFC churches and I know where God's done a work and He hasn't. But I'll tell you honestly, I fear, even for this church, that your testimony can be negative. And don't have a glory in that. It must be positive that you live before God's face, that the fact that you come into this meeting, you bring the presence of God into this meeting. And imagine 50, 60 people bringing the presence of God into a meeting. People will sense it. Boy, today I met with the Lord. The Lord was here. Many years ago I asked the Lord, what is the mark of a New Testament church? You see, I grew up, when I was baptized, I was in the Orthodox Church, you know, before I was born again. They pray to Mary and pray for the dead and all. And I got born again at 19. And I joined the Brethren Assembly. And they were very strong on pattern, New Testament pattern. Everything must be like this, like this. We don't call anybody a pastor. We have elders. Many, many good things, which according to the pattern. But it was a dead pattern. We studied like the Bible every Sunday, like studying a book of chemistry or something. It was all accurate information. But I didn't go away from the meetings I attended those days saying, boy, I met with the Lord. No. They talked about New Testament pattern. And I said, I want a New Testament pattern. I sought the Lord. What is the mark of a New Testament church? Is it that we don't have anybody called a pastor? Is it that we don't circulate letters asking for money? All that is good. Is it that we baptize by immersion? Only born again people. Is it that we break bread in a proper way? We don't believe that that is the body and blood of Jesus. It's a symbol. No, none of these things. It is, what the Lord showed me was 1 Corinthians 14. That in your church, people should go away at the end of the meeting and say, 1 Corinthians 14:25. The person comes in and he worships God and says, God is certainly among you. Unbelieving. It's an unbelieving man, an ungifted man, verse 24, comes in and he acknowledges, hey, God is here. Not a particular doctrine. Not that I don't do this and I don't do that and I don't do the other thing. God is here. That's what people said when the fire fell from heaven. It wasn't a doctrine Elijah preached. The fire of God came down and people said, boy, God is here. And I want to urge you, my dear brothers and sisters, that that should be your longing for every single meeting. You say, Lord, we want to go away from every single meeting of the church feeling we met with God. We met with Jesus was there. And I believe that one man can bring it, the presence of the Lord. Paul could bring it into that church in Ephesus. And the moment he was gone, that was the end. The Lord himself withdrew after a little while. He gave them a little time, but he withdrew from there. And the reason was, see Paul's words to in Philippians 3 when he talks about Timothy, is the quality of man that determines whether the Lord will commit himself to that person and say, I will stand by that person, that when he's there, he'll recognize that I'm there. And when he's not there, he won't sense my presence at all. Each of us should long to be like that type of person, young and old. Lord, I want the presence of the Lord so much with me. I may not be a great preacher or a great singer or a gifted, the presence of the Lord is what you should long for, every one of us.